be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, 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 beyond. April the 6th, 2014. Well, here we are. It's building up. I can feel the Grand Cross building up. This is Wolf Spirit Radio, No Borders Radio, Ever Beyond Radio, all dot thing. And here we are. I've had a really intense couple of weeks with the last kind of with the this stuff with the Rebecca Jernigan and the journey through the Vatican and it's all been rather heavy and very very intense, and so I'd like to connect tonight with an old friend of mine. We've done several shows in the past. They're in the archives. And we have talked about various things, and tonight we've got some very interesting things to talk about. I think the first subject is communications and things like that. So I would like to welcome, once again, welcome back to Ever Beyond, Olivia Valencia. Good afternoon. How are you? Well, it's lovely. I mean, we've connected like this before. This is what happens on my show. About 10 to 3, somebody calls me. Somebody makes a message. And usually, you know, either I've got somebody, you know, I've got a guest coming, or I've got no one on. If I've got no one on, then that's a sign to say, yeah, this is the person who wants to be on my show this afternoon. And you just thought you were asking me an oblique question about something, but you're actually signaling to me, and then you thought for a little while and realized that you did actually have some messages. So we'll come to that later, but. Tell us how you're doing. Well, apparently, according to what you've told me, you're working for this amazing global technological company, Olivia Valencia.
I'm not going to say where I'm working, but it's a really good company, and these people care about humanity. And about a month ago, we had a meeting regarding about the smart meters.
Yes, we chatted about that a little bit, didn't we? Talking about So tell everybody what this amazing corporation and it is a corporation, but it's not. It doesn't seem to be overwhelmed with this kind of low-grade, kind of unambitious, you know, mustn't do anything massively brilliant kind of attitude from the old school. It's very much a go-ahead, new kind of company, new fresh energies. Tell us about these people, because they sound like saints.
Actually, they're really, like, down-to-earth. It's owned by a family. And they're really down to earth, very, very smart engineers that these new technologies that are coming out will be like the future of almost everything that's electronical is going to be wireless in the future. And we had a meeting about a month ago that one of the owners brought up about the smart meters, which we all know about smart meters, was kind of the frequency on them were kind of hurting people and stuff. Well, he found out outside source. So I'm assuming somebody that's out there that's got a hold of him and talked to him about it. And so he was very, very concerned because he was not aware of this stuff. So then he talked about other corporations that, about what was going on, and nobody had a clue. Nobody knew about these frequencies were being set a certain way that was harming, the environment.
So this is a very interesting turnout, because normally what you're dealing with is that you got marketing people who want everything to be magic and wonderful, and then you got the engineers who make the thing happen, and the directorship that normally only has the input from the other two groups. So you're looking at now having a feedback saying, hang on a second, other people are telling us that this stuff is rubbish. Can we look at this? And that gives us hope. That gives me hope. You know, when you started telling me about this, I thought, this is really good. Let's help them find frequencies that will benefit humanity. There are frequencies that get rid of pests. Why not set the frequency of your radios to these frequencies, so whenever you used a radio, it did a benefit to everybody around you?
Yes.
Sorry for that rant.
Yes. And so when he asked some of the contractors, do they know what frequencies they were being set on, they said no, they never checked. And he said, why would you all start checking? And he was really, you know, like, direct about it. And he just said, I want you to find out right away and get back to me, because these need to change immediately. So that was pretty much it that I heard, because I was working and we were talking through the webcam from nationwide. I just wanted to drop everything and run over to the other building and give him a big hug. Yeah, awesome. So they're working on it.
Awesome. So, I mean, this is a real move. It feels, you know, like I said, it really feels like the consciousness has moved, rather than them knowing that what they put out, they dictate, and that's just it. And there's nothing coming back. It's just an outward thing. It's now coming to the point where people are able to say things. This is what I like about internet radio. People are able to very directly talk to the person who's on there, even if it might be your favorite ever author. You know, I've had a few guests who are like, wow, isn't this amazing? I just love talking to you because you wrote these amazing books. So the level of interaction between people is increasing, and this is what the world of communication is. Because when we do that, when we do start talking to each other, we realize how similar we are, what separates us, what joins us together. Communications, the third ray, the Holy Spirit. So, Olivia, we were we were talking about getting them to find appropriate frequencies. Did you manage to get any of my suggestions in?
No, I haven't talked to them. Well, this company is super busy. I do know that they are working on it, and I'm pretty sure if they can't figure out something and I hear about it, then I will bring it up, and I'll probably contact you at the time.
Good, good, good. All right, so,
but,
I mean, that's...
But from what I've noticed on these companies, that people were so overworked, short-staffed and overworked, that nobody really realized what was going on frequency level. That's what I saw that was going on. Uh-huh. Until one person brought it up, because some outsider mentioned it, and so he brought up the subject, and when he found out that the staff wasn't really even checking that, and they're out there working out there, and, you know, that's really important. And that, to me, is just showing that's how people are not really realizing, because they're so overworked. But now we're, like you said, the consciousness level is changing, that people probably just, like, stood there going, Oh my God, I didn't even know what I was doing, and I got to pay attention now.
Yeah, I mean, this is a lot of what's uncovering. I mean, in so many areas, we're discovering that just by the very nature of the way we were educated, that we are interfering with other lives, even if it's just to the point of, you know, you know, being able to swat an insect or something like that, or having the I don't know, I don't want to go to various other places with that.
I do understand.
You know what I'm saying? We are often so unaware. For instance, an old school bloke coming across a young, modern, post-feminist woman is going to have he's not going to see what he does. You know, it's almost like you have to, it's like, forgive him because he doesn't know what he's doing. Because he's not seeing the damage that he's doing, even by using this particular form of wording. I mean, as a woman who's been in this corporate world, you understand what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yes, I do. My thing, and you're absolutely right, it's when people, wherever you get your education, whether you go to a college or you just go to an employee, you know, get your experience, it's always important to make sure that no matter what you're working on, what your level is, that the cautious of your surrounding. And the same thing goes with respect with others and courtesy. It's no different and with working in a technology or greeting somebody. Everything has conscience. Everything needs to be respected and shifted to a point where everything can connect properly.
That's
right.
Did
that make sense?
Oh, yeah, because you got... well, you see, here's the thing, Olivia. You're part European, but you've also got some First Nations blood in you.
Yes.
And the whole culture, the culture it's natural. It's in terms of you see yourselves as part of nature, and the things that you do affect the nature around you. So you learn to be respectful. Yet in our European, Roman, Latin, Babylonian attitudes, Orionese, I don't know, attitudes, that we can stomp our way around the world with impunity, stomping on everything and not caring. And yet, you know, if you were to be experiencing that, you'd really be having a hard time experiencing what it's like for this Roman... this Roman invasion, basically.
Well, when I used to be doing the entertainment industry, I did meet some people that were European, and yes, I knew what you're talking about, because I was also explaining how the different cultures, depending where they are, carry themselves differently. I didn't look at it as being rude. It's just a different way of, interacting. But after they're comfortable and see how you are, they kind of transform and take a little bit of you with them. Do you know what I mean?
Well, that's your shamanic healing going in there.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
It was just my nature.
Yeah, well, that is your nature. This is the nature of people who carry a secondary soul. Is that they are impressed by people. I was talking about this last show. So let's have a look at, you know, I'll explain that a little bit further. People express themselves. Their soul emanates out from their heart center, out through and creating, you know, various levels of aura around them. And that aura has a texture, color, frequency, whatever you want to call it, flavor. And you walk around and you meet another person, and your auras will combine. They merge. Now, what happens that people with Ray 2 souls and others are impressed like a coin stamped by somebody else's aura. And the energy of that person is you basically kind of it's like if you're using Photoshop, it's like you take a duplication, you duplicate their energy inside you. And if it's unbalanced, and certainly with your, like yourself with the fourth ray personality, if anything's out of balance, you will then shift yourself. You're bending the spoon by changing yourself. And then you release that, and that goes back to the other person as a slightly modified piece of their own personal software. It's like you've given them a tweak that makes things easier for them.
You're right, I do that.
And that is shamanic healing on a technical, you know, explained in a sort of technological way.
That's beautifully said.
So... yeah, so that's the effect of what happens when somebody comes close to you, that you get impressed, you get stamped with that energy, which is why it's really difficult to deal with lots of people at any one time, because you get stamped by everybody and it becomes slightly confusing. It's much easier for second-ray folk to be on a one-to-one level. It's very difficult being in a group, isn't it?
Yes, I. You're right. I can handle three, but if it becomes five, it all depends if their frequency has a little bit symbolically to mine. I'll be okay, but if it starts to grow too many people, I start to walk out and go, "Whoa, this is too much for me." Or, and sometimes if I have to be in that room, I ask for backup.
Yeah,
so I mean, other energies to start connecting, and then they'll help me in the surrounding.
And this is the thing, is essentially it's like everybody, in a way, we walk around with a kind of inflatable suit. I imagine it's made of very fine material, like a shell suit, and it's inflated up like a Michelin man. And that when other people press on it, that's what I mean by being impressed, if the pressure that comes from them is sufficient, and it's normally that pressure is like a neediness to gain attention or something like that. If that pressure exceeds the pressure that is inside our suits, we become impressed. And so, you know, you get so impressed that, you know, you have no aura left by all the people around you pressing in on it. And that's why you need the internal pressure to, it's like pumping it back up again, like going underwater. You have to pump up the pressure inside the suit in order to withstand the pressure that's coming on the outside.
You know what? I told you that I've been going through a lot of changes.
Yeah, so this is where we're going to
That's starting to fade away. I'm not going through that as much anymore, and I wasn't really understanding it. But being that the past to me was a journey that I was supposed to learn, whether it was good or bad, I look at both now as gratitude. I'm grateful. Because I don't think consciously, and everything that I've been able to do, I'd still be here with you all, helping with you all. It's just so different. I see things differently. I hear things. Everything, all my senses have changed so much, and it's for the good. And when I see those that will try to hurt me in the past, some of the shapeshifters, when I see them now, just whenever they appear, it's like they're embracing with love now, and they're like, like the way they look at you, it's like, well done, because you achieved what you were supposed to be, and that's where everyone else will be.
So what you're saying is that the people who perceived, who you perceived before to be the people who are harming you or like your enemies, and again, this goes back to the last show, become your teacher. You learn from them how to be a better you.
Yeah. Even if some were really hard, yeah. It's just amazing. And if I am going to be into trouble or anything, it's like you're consciously connected. This is where, again, where I keep telling you, you need to see The New Adventures of Sherlock Holmes. It's better than remote viewing. Because that's how your mind is going. I mean, that show is showing you that it's completely, you're seeing the timelines before you're actually going to step forward and actually do it. And you choose which one you want to pick.
I see. So in his mind, he sees these various options playing out. And,
yes.
And he then explores the one that is the one that leads him towards the truth.
Yes.
How does he know which one it is? Does he use his famous Sherlock sniff?
You need to watch it. I ain't going to share that part.
You're going to do me spoilers.
No. It's a great show. Watch it.
All right. Because my son Joseph has left a whole pile of brand new, spanking new, unwrapped DVDs for me to watch Sherlock. And I don't have a minute, really, you know. Yeah, we're doing, producing all the time and all this stuff. Anyway. Well. So, 23, 32. That's very good. Anyway, so where are we? We were looking at the process that certainly it's like there's several waves of it. There are several groups of people who go through the awakening process, as it were, or whatever you might call it, the beginnings of the ascension process, the initiation process. And it's like nobody's a master, really. We're all students, because there's always further on. I mean, you know, the galaxy is full of beings who have moved further on from their evolution, and that's what happens, is as you move up into the higher evolution, you become part of the universal consciousness that is aware of everybody else and aware of that, you know, that we're not alone here on this planet. And you've been experiencing a lot of these since you were a child, haven't you?
Yes, I have. And
so, do you want to give us a little window into your experience of that, as you know, just growing up in our, what we call our world, but also having, you know, being taken. And these are not, you know, when we're talking about extraterrestrial, we're not talking like greys or nasty bad things that operate on you. You've always had positive,
I've had both.
You've had both. Yeah, I'm just thinking that some of the things you've done, you haven't always had. But when you're a kid, you were taken and you were trained. You've been taken for training. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? How you first discovered that you had that, or whether you've always been aware of this?
I was always aware of it, but there was a certain part of my life that they let you do whatever, because you're here also to learn. So whether you do something that's, what is it that religion calls a sin, but in reality, it's an experience, because you need to experience as much as you can, because you need to feel these empathetic emotions, because those empathetic emotions, as painful as they can be, is going to help you in the long run to understand where everybody's going to be headed towards. And where I came from and my training was a holograph universe, and there's holograph in many levels in different places. It can be used for good, bad, just like, you know, when they say about Wicca, magic, it could be used good or bad, because all it really is, it's in the individual. It is the conscious, whether it's good or bad. It has nothing to do with anything out there. It's the individual. Just like programming. I was programmed heavily, but yet I always knew it. And I always fought it. And when I first started talking to you, JP, I believe I did say it on the radio that I was still fighting the last of it. And I would get so emotional and cry over it. And it's because I couldn't control it. I didn't want to cry. It was just coming out. It was part of the healing process. And when I hear other people cry on the radio, I think it's beautiful. I go, good, because that's the stage that they're healing, they're releasing, they're becoming stronger, not weaker.
Absolutely. Crying is not a sign of strength. No. Crying's not a sign of weakness. I always get that. Whenever it's something that you do one way or the other, I always get it the wrong way around, and it comes straight out of my mouth like, oh, no, I didn't say that, did I?
That's funny.
Jeeps. Anyway, no, I'll say it in that same gravity. Crying is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength. That's what I was meaning to say. All right. No,
because crying. You're fighting the program.
Exactly.
It's going away. It's starting to peel. And you should never feel bad. At first, I was feeling bad, but now that I have passed that, I go, you know what? Thank you. Thank you, universe. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, every conscious that exists, because I wouldn't be where I'm at now.
No. So, you know, you're a little four-year-old, and suddenly you're taken, okay. And... you're not four anymore, are you?
No. When I would get taken, when they would show up, everything changes. Like, everything shifts into another reality. You're in your room, but you're not in your room. And they tell you, come on, let's go. There'll be times where I can fly, depending whoever was carrying the certain technology that... we were all able to fly and go up to the ship, or a platform sometimes. And other times, it would be someone that was not human, but somewhat human, and would come and say, we were sent to take you. And I would say, who asked you to send me? And I would turn like the age 10, 12, and at the time, like you said, I was about 3-4 years old. But I would turn to the age that I really am, from where I'm come from. And they would say, hold my hand. I would hold their hand, and then all of a sudden, I would turn etheric and fly with them. So I would be able to go through the walls, through the window in the glass, and I would just go up. And I would look down, and it was kind of funny because I didn't see Peter Pan until I was a young adult. And when the first time I saw that, that's what it reminded me of. You're going to Neverland. They come and get you and hold your hand, and you fly, and you go to Neverland. And those were platforms, and they were cities similar to Neverland. It was kind of... very unusual, except that it was like a lot of technology, you know, and holographic computers and all that, and then a lot of different type of big blocks of different type of minerals and metals that we all had to connect with it, because they were taking them to some place, I guess, for other processing. I don't know. At the time, I didn't know then. We were just sent to have to do that. So, and we will also get charged up with energy that I always tend to kind of like wet my fingers as a kid and hit the socket, because that electrical shock that I would get felt really good. I needed it. I didn't need food. I would always throw up my food as a child. Because food wasn't necessary, at least on this planet. They would take us and have us eat something else.
So this is interesting, and this is something that I've been saying for quite a while now, just realizing it myself, that the human body actually runs on electricity, and that food is like a backup emergency fuel that, you know, just shove some of that green stuff into your head, and that'll keep you going. And it's like we've been stuck without the plasma. I don't know whether it's been a natural process that we can't feed off the Earth plasma, or whether it's been deliberately removed from us. But certainly, I fully agree with what you're saying there, Olivia, that we run on electricity.
Yes, and being also too that as we grow older. Because we are taught to eat food, and even they educated us very young in schools, in science class about the four basic groups. So right there, you're already being programmed that it's necessary to eat that food. That when you're a little kid, you really didn't care about eating. Food wasn't necessary.
Or dressing. Do you remember that? Put some clothes on, Olivia.
So funny.
But it's true, isn't it? I mean, kids don't like clothes. They don't really like food, especially that kind of pap stuff that we're forced down their throats. And babies throw up all the time. You know. Yeah, so it's a very interesting subject. So you felt like you were four when you were on the ground, but when you were elsewhere, you felt like you were a different age. You felt like you had different knowledge. Was it like a cupboard opening up next to you, full of books and information? I remember, I've got that. Is it that sort of experience when you move from one dimension to the other? Because this is what we're talking about, isn't it?
Yes, it's immediately when you connect with them, all your powers, all your knowledge is right there activated, and you know everybody as you're communicating. Once they leave the room, as they start walking out, it starts to vanish slowly, and then you're just back to your regular self with this reality, and you barely know what 2 and 2 is.
Yeah, and this is, I mean, it's kind of analogous to like when you wake up in the morning and you just open your eyes and you're still in that dream and you're still in your room, and then you're in the room and the dream's gone. It's a frequency, and we're moving from one frequency to the other. We're going from alpha to beta, like when we're waking up. So when you're around somebody who is expressing on these frequencies, these alpha beta frequencies, you are entrained to those frequencies and you feel and experience life in their wave band, as it were. Would that be a good way of putting it?
Yeah, I would say, yeah. And it's funny you say you were trained. Yes, I was trained to acknowledge every frequency. And even now, because of what happened many years ago, there's also a silent frequency. I mean, completely dead silence. That's the one I get curious more. When it's dead silence, that's when you activate yourself and prepare yourself and call for backup.
That's the Wolf Spirit Radio moment, dead air. But yes, the interesting you say that silence is like silence is a frequency, because a lot of the times, you know, you hear people and they talk about when they met ETs, like suddenly they couldn't hear all the background sounds. All they could hear was the voice of the other being, isn't it?
So All beings have a different frequency, you know, depending on what species they are. Even the human race has a certain frequency. But even though we all have our individual frequency, we all also have certain harmonics that's identical. And every species has a certain harmonic that's identical to tell what species they are.
Like a signature.
Yes.
And everybody's got, it's like, I would say it's like an IP address or you know, like a domain. Like you got .uk and then you got .co. So there's the UK group, and then there's UK's got .co.uk, academics.uk.military.uk, etc. So there's this kind of different groupings, and they all group together in different ways, yeah?
Yes.
So
they have always have a way of putting it together.
And because a lot of it is to do with frequency, and frequencies can be tuned. You know, you can tune something by specific sizes. I've always been fascinated that things come in sizes. You know, very distinct sizes. Like, for instance, let's look at the grasshopper. Right, on one level, you got the grasshopper, okay, which is about, you know, what is it, like an inch and a quarter long or something like that, and then you've got the locust, which is basically the same sort of design, but scaled up about twice as big. And then you've got this other little thing, a cricket, isn't it? That is the same, yes, same being, but just scaled down. Or, you know, just the next scale along. But they're distinct sizes. And I've always been interested in this. Why are things distinct sizes? And it's very, I think it's very much like the rays and musical notes, is that things tend to form. It's a harmonic thing. That things don't fall outside of harmonics in nature. They do in artificial. That's why they feel artificial. But in nature, their signature, their frequencies tend to fall within certain kinds of grouping and certain sorts of relationships. And probably the difference in relationship size between the grasshopper and the locust is probably the phi ratio, the, you know, the 1.618 thing. What's that? Fibonacci kind of ratio. So, yeah. Blah-de-blah-de-blah. Talking about scales of things and groupings of beings. So, the call went out and we all signed up somehow.
Yes.
And this is from all corners of the galaxy and the... how did they market it?
What do you mean?
How was this marketed? You know, Earth is in trouble, do you want to come and help? And like all the hippies go, oh yeah, all right, oh, that sounds like fun.
No, it was a certain amount of time, and those that were in charge here that were here before said, we're only giving you a certain amount of time to make certain changes. You don't follow through, we're back. We're here. We're all here again. They didn't follow through.
Right, so we had a job and we screwed up.
I don't say we screwed up.
Well, you know, some ways. Okay, there is no delay. There is only
time.
there is no mistake. It's only delay. All right, yeah, all right. I get you.
It's, you know, you experiment with things. It happens.
That's right. You got to see what works, eh?
Yeah. So, I mean, after all, everything could always go back and change.
Yep. Yep. So, but the idea. And I'm wondering if this is part of the problem is that time travel was involved in this intervention that's gone on on this planet, and so that's made it all the more difficult because people are dashing about in time, escaping things because they've got like pocket time machines like bloody Captain Jack.
Yeah, pockets.
Yeah, and it's, you know, and like, you know, even the Nazis had this technology, it seems. So there's all sorts of weird stuff that's going on, and people are messing with timelines. And I remember something that you said, is that you feel timelines changing. You feel it when the timelines change, don't you?
I feel it and I see it. I can also see the grids as they wave. Whenever I see somebody on a YouTube sometimes on these videos and they're talking about how the grids and the lines and then how they go into a hole and it goes back up, I actually can see it. And I've had witnesses, people with me that actually saw the same thing I did. And I went, it's amazing. I just wish that it would stay long enough for us to videotape it.
Yeah.
And it happens seconds. It's just really quickly. And you're just standing there going, interesting. And then everything just goes back to normal. But it's like riding a roller coaster sometimes.
Yeah. This is, I was watching a film last night called Branded. Have you seen that one? About marketing. It's set in Russia, but basically it's got this guy and he eventually becomes the top marketer in the world, and you see how he becomes, because he perceives the being, the entity that each brand is. He sees and he's like walking down the high street and he sees all these huge kind of, they're like bags, they're like a kind of hot air balloon kind of material, silk bags of this energy that they're drawing from people. That's what they're like, hungry beings. It's called Branded. I really recommend it. 2012, Branded 2012. It's set in Moscow 2017. But he sees how they are living entities themselves. And that you have a, he gets the idea to change it, and he does things, and that's what the film's about. It's quite interesting, but it's called Branded, it really demonstrates, number one, he just lays it out how the Soviet Union was sold, the whole communist agenda was sold by Lenin as a marketing plan, and that politics ever since is based on Lenin's model. Which is why, because you're in a capitalist country, that's why your elections get exponentially more expensive. Now, you try saying exponentially expensive elections.
That's me.
Yeah. Because it's a business model, and there's nobody's buying their product, and so they have to spend more and more on selling the product. This last one product is Obama 2, you know, and look how it was sold. And then of course they rigged the cash register so that it's faked, so like you get a fake number of clicks on Facebook. So it's a fascinating film for two main things. Is the idea of, he explains the whole business model, and also the idea that brands themselves are entities. Corporations are fourth dimensional entities manifesting into the world like some kind of creature. And he was sitting there at the board meeting, and everybody had these... And it's a fantastic scene, because he's sitting there in front of these guys from the Chinese restaurant. Every one of them, he could see. I mean, it's like invisible, but to his vision, he could see they were like nasty, gnarly, kind of umbilical cords, all sorts of different size umbilical cords, big fat ones, little thin ones, all kind of swirling around. And each one of them was connected to this entity, which was sat up on the roof like an enormous egg, and all of the, he could watch the reaction as he said things. He could see the reaction of this entity behind them, and so he was able to play them. And he could, you know, because he could see what was going, he was able to play them. So it was a very interesting scene. But the idea of what he saw, this is what I perceived as what mediums call cording. Which are the psychic tubes which people drain each other from, and entities drain you with these things, these cords. It's just a fascinating vision. I always wonder, you know, are they on an ultraviolet level? Is it infrared? You know, what part of it can't we see? I don't know if you've ever seen these things or you've experienced them, Olivia.
Well, you know what? For a little bit there, you kind of lost me there. And then I was like going, okay, trying to think back what the subject we're talking about.
Right, entities and core. Well, I was talking like during this film, it talked about what mediums call cords. Have you heard of these things?
No.
It's like a tube, much like an umbilical cord. You know, it's kind of gnarly, kind of like a vein. You know, it's like visceral, like what's that word? Gristly, kind of a vein thing. That psychically we're all connected to these negative entities with. Have you ever heard of that?
Negative.
Yeah, usually, you know, you have a negative influence in your life. It's because you've got a cord that's running from you somewhere, maybe your solar plexus or your base center or your, you know, to this other entity, you know, or even extraterrestrial entities like the Greys or organizations like the Illuminati and things like that. There are cords that go everywhere. You never seen
that? Because where I'm seeing now, and if I'm looking back in the past thing, not quite a cord. Everything here had been programmed. I don't care what society you're talking about. It's all the same. Everything was programmed. And there, everything on this planet is healing. And those that didn't know what they were doing, eventually when they figure it out, as they have been from what I'm seeing or hearing, things that are going on, and I still feel bad because nobody knew better. It's really anything that was happening here and had been happening in that past time. It was as if somebody took control of the keyboard and forced everybody and everything to do anything. And you were just walking around just like what they call zombies. You had no clue what you were doing.
That's right. And that, I mean, we can see people have been talking about this. This is like their plan to do that again. You know, more remote controlled people. Very good. Why? People are brilliant. They got all their own ideas. It's just, you know, they don't want us to be stamped like coins. Or rather, we.
those that are speaking in that term, no offense, because that means you're still in that program and you're still not fighting it. You need to get yourself out.
Yeah, well.
And those that are not seeing that, it's... They're going to be living the freedom life. They're not going to see, experience any of that or understand it. It's because that's a past life. You need to move to the future.
So what
you might be in this life, but you're still choosing a past or the future.
That's right.
And it's up to you.
That's right, because one of the methods of what the Buddha is talking about, he is talking about you picture yourself as a full and perfect being, and by doing so, you impress yourself, like we were saying before, you impress yourself with the aura of your own future self, and that accelerates your evolution. And when you accelerate your evolution, everybody who knows you is also touched by that. And so all we need to do, it only takes a few people to do it, is to, as much as you can, picture yourself in the future as a full, complete, whole, empowered being. And then just do that as much as you can, and this is how you will pull yourself through the astral plane and into what Stuart Swerdlow calls hyperspace and beyond. Beyond, 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 beyond.
Yes.
So, would you say that was kind of analogous to what you've done yourself? Is like in order to remove yourself from the pain of the past, you recreate yourself, much as you're saying that Sherlock is doing. And he's doing this minute by minute, isn't he? He's like seeing
you
how...
You need to watch the show.
Ah, yeah, I've got to watch the show. I mean, oh, come on. I only managed to get what's branded last night. But yes, I wish I could mind meld with my son, who watches every movie and like... Oh, yeah, that's what it's about. Maybe I could get
the movies him. Is nothing. It doesn't... The movies is nothing. It's just gibberish. The show is actually showing the technology of the man itself.
Excellent. Excellent. Sherlock. No. you can't help it. You just can't say no. Oh, right. All right. So anyway, so pulling yourself into the future. This is what you've been doing. This is your work, isn't it?
Yes, this is. We all came here in an assignment. Some of us maybe it's just haven't activated yet because it's not time for you, or you don't want to because you still want to experience being in this reality as a human. You want to experience human, and that is okay. Because just doing that, your frequency is connecting with everything, and it's still helping. You're still working here. And it doesn't matter what assignment you choose to have taken, we're all working in some way. As when I choose to come here, I knew what I was getting myself into, but just like most of you, but Jesus, I swear those years were pretty, nothing could have happened. You could have been in a field of the most beautiful scenery on earth, and you were in pain as hell. Your emotions were just in pain. And that was the part of the experience to fight, was to fight pain.
And this is a lot of we hear a lot of reports from people who have had contact, particularly with benevolence, is that they always talk about it's really difficult for these guys to be around people because of the pain that they're experiencing. And this is what you're talking about. I've heard I didn't speak to her. Sani Sito, who is an she was a representative of one of the Roswell Greys who incarnated into a human body. And she talks about like her ultra sensitivity. She can feel everything. She doesn't have the same blocks as somehow we have. And this sounds very much like what you've been experiencing is it's like an utter sensitivity. Extreme, exquisite, as they say. Exquisite, like being painful as well as brilliant. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I do believe that everybody has that. It's just that as you grow up as a child and schools kind of change you for you to kind of level it off, your emotions. Maybe I don't want to remember how they did it, but actually I'm remembering now that I'm saying it. I didn't want to remember that.
Yeah. Well, I was watching something and it was, I can't remember exactly the date, and somebody in the chat room might be able to help, but there was a point when American education went from basically education to training.
Yeah, that's what I was remembering.
Yeah. Now, I used the word entrainment before, which is not exactly the same as training. Entrainment is where you have the mother's heartbeat, all the children synchronized to the mother's heartbeat. That's entrainment. That's what I mean. That it's a synchronization of heart, of rhythm, of heartbeat.
Yeah.
That's what entrainment. But training is the imposition of a rhythm that is not yours.
Yeah.
dancing to somebody else's drum, and it can.
And it's a music and it's a video. I remember when I was about, I'm not sure if I was 7 or 8, being in a classroom, and we didn't have PE that day, so we had to stay in class and watch a video. And this video was so sad. It just hurt my heart. It was this man, he was a small man, he was, you know, a grown man, but he was just a small people type, and he was a bit crippled, and how he made his living, he would find a way to, I don't know if he made it or somebody gave it to him, he had a tool that he would get around, and he would tie himself, his legs to it, and then he would get on a tractor and he worked on fields and stuff. He made his own living. He didn't depend on anybody. And I cried all through the video because I wanted, you know, like, go get a job and help this man, you know. And even though it was just a video, I couldn't stop crying. And then after it finished and we all had to go to recess, I'm still crying. I go outside and I'm crying, and everybody comes out of class like, all right, I'm hungry and stuff. And the teacher came up to me and gives me a tissue and says, you're very different from the other children. I'm like, I am. And I couldn't stop crying. I went home crying and I told my mom what happened. She hugs me and she goes, it's going to be okay. And I go, it's not okay. He lives in the farmland, and he has to work, and he's crippled, and he's a little person. I'm taller than him, probably. And I, that just triggered something on me. And then about a month after that, they had, I guess, like, junior military, when they come to the schools, and they do the drills, and they show them how the little stunts that they can do with the guns and stuff, and you see these little kids, some of them look like they weren't even 4 years old, wearing these uniforms of, you know, like the Green Berets or something like that. I think they were called the Green Berets back then. And getting ready to start another season of classes for the academy, and wanted to know who wanted to sign up and stuff. And the next thing you know, a good portion of the students weren't there no more. After a few weeks, I started noticing there was less and less students. Some I know moved away. Others, I don't know what ever happened. And every time I would get taken, and then I would ask about what was going on, they would say, don't worry, they went to a better place, they went to a better location. All right, if you guys tell me that, okay. Because even if you were lying to me, maybe I just needed to hear something that made me feel better, because I was such a sensitive little kid.
And you're still a sensitive adult.
Yes, I am.
Bless your heart. Bless your heart. So, listen, let's have a little break. I need to, you know, I've been in the saddle for a few hours. I need a potty break and to make some tea. Everybody else needs to stretch. Anyway, have a nice little stretch. We'll be playing, I think this is James Asher. Yeah, I think Rain Dance. Anyway, this is Thundercloud Mountain. Get down with your tribal self. Quantum entangled with the galactic core. This is Ever Beyond. Tonight's guest, Olivia Valencia. Traveller. Mermaid. So, we were talking in the break about something which has now completely escaped my mind. It's the thing that you have a message about, because these people who have been training you all these years have been training you for things. Sometimes you've learned on the job, but have you found that now all of your skills are being brought together to create a kind of a cross fusion blend of all the skills that you've learned in this life and off planet.
Yeah, I do feel that, and it's the skills that just not just for myself, but many were to help out for when the completion of the hologram gets returned, we are aware what will work and what will not work. And everything will be as was promised. Because learning it in this reality that we've been learning, everything is complicated because it's like doing your mathematical problems, but you're doing it physically. But when you go towards the holograph back into the future, that you know all this, you know what's going to work and what's not, and you're going to be beneficial and helpful to make sure everything grows and more universes, more galaxies and spaces will manifest for that, you know? And also, every one of us that exists here are eventually, in some time in the future, will end up having their own universe. Well, these baby steps, you'll have your own planet, your own universe, galaxy. It just keeps growing.
And this is one of the reasons that the ancient book, the Tao Te Ching, is so handy, because it talks about how, you know, it's written by an emperor and talks about how to handle a kingdom, but every group is the same. And you can be a benign influence, or you can be a malefic dictator. And on this planet we have the choice to be any of those, but it's really a sandbox to show you what works. And Lao Tzu just kind of wrote down what works, and it's like, you know, if you're mean to people, they will rebel. So be nice to people. Be nice to your people. It's really simple stuff. It's like you could write it down, and this book you can keep, you know, can you put in your pocket. It's like you can get one that's like 2 inches wide. And yet each one of those is how to run a country, a kingdom, an empire, or a person, or a family. You know, how to behave well so that you get appropriate results. And this is what you're saying, is that you have the models from the future and of other places where it's worked before, and those are what we call ascension codes. They're like, you know how it works. You've experienced, I suppose it's like, say somebody from Europe, someone from Europe in the 70s, grew up, we have banks and checks and everything, and then an American comes over and they got American Express. They can go anywhere and they just go poof and press a few buttons and it's been paid for. That was a really alien kind of concept back in the day, you know, credit cards. Now everybody's got one. But it was a model of a particular form of actually somehow not caring so much about money. But look where it gets you. You have to be, you know, you have to make sure that you got enough of a supply. But what I'm talking about is the mindset that comes with understanding how that just works. And you don't even need to worry about how it works. You don't need to worry about how a car works. You just press the pedals and steer it and hope not to hear anything. But when we talk about ascension codes with people, it's in their parallel dimensional realities that are quantum intertangled with this reality, you have experienced life beyond a simple, you know, war and central bank mentality. Are you getting what I'm talking about, what I'm trying to ramble on about? Like, you've been there, you know how it works, so you emanate that as part of your expression, which then other people are impressed by.
Okay. I don't know if they're impressed, but Yes, I have been trained to understand, to see everything, and to know what's right and wrong. And being that I'm still in the human body, I do have my temper. Like, I'm just like everybody else. If you piss me off, I will let you know it. But
okay, so
I know I just went blank. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, well, no, it's basically what we're saying. You know, you've got a galactic life and you've got a personal life, and this is like personal life is. You know, you have to deal with the fact that other people leave their dirty socks lying around, even though they're your son and you love them dearly. You know, that kind of thing. That's your personal life, and that can be irritating. People can be personally irritating at times.
No, the irritating part was the galactic part. I get pissed off.
Oh, well, you get irritated with the galactics.
Yeah,
oh, that's an old, oh, right, okay.
Only a few people sometimes very rarely get... It's hardly do I get mad, but it's the galactic. Like, I'm hearing a lot of laughter up there. Okay. Yeah, because it's just having, you know, just like here when you go to a meeting and everybody has to make a decision about what's going to happen next. It's no different. I make decisions up there about what's going to happen in the universe and what's the next, you know, what's the next thing that's going to go on and what technologies that been made in a certain planets that needs to be moved to another planet or into another solar system, you know, to make changes. It's just that certain things that had happened not too long ago, I had asked. I don't know if I should even go there, but I said, was it really necessary the way it was handled? It was not. To me, it shouldn't have happened that way, but it did. And I don't know why I went there this direction because I know you don't know what I'm talking about. Maybe some of you do, but I don't think I should be talking about this. But I have said in the past that everything's operated. Every planet, every star, everything. There's somebody operating it. And sometimes you want to upgrade it, and you have certain planets that can produce crystals, you know, certain type of minerals, metals, and you have your workers there helping that happen. And somewhere along the line, they create a currency, you know, as a living. Well, it's been brought up now not too long ago, and I had one of the ones that brought it up saying, is it really necessary to have some people starving if everybody is supposed to experience these things? I understand some come into a life form and too much suffering. I understand one needs to experience that, but one can live in the palace and still suffer and have everything. Why is it necessary for those that have nothing and live poorly and be looked down upon suffer? I think that needs to change. There's no need for that. And it hurts to drive someplace, go someplace, and you're out buying food, and there's a homeless person, and you know you're seeing them more and more every day. It's even in areas you don't expect, because that's where they're safe. They're safer in certain areas; they feel comfortable. But nobody's pulling them away because it's starting to grow so much that it's not needed. Every country, every place you go to has homeless people. And just, you know, you don't, even if you can't take them to your home or something, just to acknowledge them, whether they're okay or not. They're going through something. They're going through their journey. Maybe it's their time that they're going through that shift and that ascension, and they're not understanding it. And so they're finding themselves homeless because they don't want to be around anyone. But to ask for food or money, whether it's for, even if it's for a drug, to me, some people find it into that direction. At least they're asking for money for they can supply for whatever it is that they need. Better to do that than going out and hurting somebody or breaking into somebody's home, being violated. It doesn't cost to go up to him, buy his a little cookie or something for, or a little water or something and give it to them, or even give them $1, even if you can't afford it. I know people that don't work and don't hardly have anything, but they carry a few bucks in their pocket because they're holding that dollar, which I'm one of those people. For the next homeless person I see, I give them a buck. Or else I'll go and get them something food, some food that, you know, like a cookie or something. But yes, I'm one of those that look at the ingredients because I wouldn't give something to somebody that I wouldn't feed myself. Because that's the way I am. And sometimes I'll bake stuff and then I'll put them in little baggies. And if I see a homeless person there, I'll go give it to them. It doesn't cost much, you know? It's just the little things while they're struggling.
You can make an enormous difference with a very small thing, eh?
Yes. And I've talked about this out in the space. It's not necessary. Because I know everybody came for an experience, but that's not necessary for that. If they choose to be homeless for a little bit, let it be for just a little bit, for a few days. That's all it takes, is a few days to grasp, to understand. Because that's happened to me quite a few times in my life, and it happened to me again last year. I was homeless again. But that was my choice. My homeless didn't last long because I look up in the sky and there they are. Here comes the ship saying, you know, we're not going to let that happen. And I'm grateful. And I went, but please don't let it happen to others as well. I don't want to see anybody homeless. I don't want to see anybody suffering. And I tell them, I'm sorry, you guys, but I'm down here. I'm experiencing a human body right now, and this body is asking for this request for humanity. You guys are up there, and it's completely different. So you're not understanding it unless you come down here and experience the human life again.
Yeah, that's the thing. That for them, time is different, and reality, you know, that the effort that you have to put into things is different. You want to talk about that?
When you're up there, yes, you're, I mean, I had to had a few times, there's been quite a few times that I was called that we need you in an urgency. This planet, which has something going on and we need backup. Are you coming now? Yeah. I've gone, and I do understand because I'm in that planet, different reality. All of a sudden, I'm the soldier. We're out there, we're fighting, and we're saving lives, taking children. There's no emotions happening. Everything is, you're there to do a job and get out. I do understand that. But then when you're back here, the other way around, you're like going, oh, do something. It's a reminder. I guess it would be the same way as if you work in a hospital and you're a doctor. You have to not think about your emotions. You have to just go there and do it.
That's right. That's it. Exactly you've got it spot on there. And I think this is some of the things that we have to be very clear about when we look at other people doing other things, that they have a particular relationship with the, you know, it's a objective subjective thing, isn't it? That you're detached from the feelings of that person. So it's much easier to be cool about it. So, oh yes, you've got half a leg missing. Let me just kind of put that back there, and not thinking about, oh my God, this person's I'm being grossed out here. You know, it's just like you're mechanical about it because if you think, oh my God, if I was doing this to me, I would feel very bad, and then I'd probably throw up, maybe a little bit. But yeah, so. It is very different. Do you want to talk about time? I always well, we were talking a little bit in the break about when you're out in the galaxy outside the solar system, things are different. Time is different. Space is different. Could you talk about a little bit and kind of sort of maybe paint a picture for our listeners to kind of share in that experience of it?
Well, I don't want to talk about stuff that I repeated before unless you have a bunch of newer people that don't never heard this stuff before.
Quite a few. Well,
quite a few new?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. There's different locations where you can go in space where you're there. And it's just still. There is no time. And you look at everything, everywhere, up, down, all around you, and you see all these timelines happening. And they're in let me see, how do you call them? I guess like footage, like when you get a ruler out and you're doing these footage lines, line crossings, and every line crossing, just like the planet has the lines where they have the timelines for it. You know, each hour changes wherever you're at in our planet. It's the same way. The universe has these timelines of different realities. Like, you can be out there in space and you can look at a certain timeline and you see that the Earth is barely being formed. How creation began. And creation began by a force. And what was the force? A computer. Let's see.
Don't stop there.
Okay.
Whose computer? Who switched it on? Who wrote the program? La la da da da.
Oh, okay. Which for this universe?
Yeah.
Giovanni was one of them. And Giovanni was one that I worked with and used to take me as a child. And that was one of the platforms I used to go work on and in the holograph, because we wanted to make sure this time nothing was going to explode, nothing was going to go. And if it does, we would have the technology to switch it back and bring it back in the exact moment before it explodes. And we did. We did this in the year of 2012, just like they said. It happened. You are actually living a new reality, a new life right now. But no one's really seeing it.
How come nobody's noticed? Or actually, I've noticed, but how come people don't notice?
The reason why they haven't is because as old souls as many appear to be, they're actually new in this reality. So they're not going to experience it maybe into another life form. Because since we're all living different timelines, different realities, it's not going to happen for everyone here. And I was told, even Giovanni told me when I was little and when I was taken, there was a bunch of kids, we were sitting there and he was lecturing us, telling us that a lot of you that are experiencing what you're experiencing, and when you guys complete this, that's because that's your time. Many that are not going to understand this, they're going to think you guys are just out there. But don't worry, it's okay. You yourself know what you went through, and you know the educational level that you succeeded. You're going to go on to the next level. And when it's their time, because these guys are still children, maybe you look at them older than you. Maybe there's something that seems wiser to you of them. But when it comes to technology, you are the old souls. You that suffered so much, you that know what's going out there, what's going on, are the higher educationers that's going to eventually either choose to go on to another reality and have that the future of the holograph, where everything is so much easier and so much breeze, or when you go on to the next life, you're going to be one of the teachers and take the place of the teachers that have been here, that appear out of nowhere, that have been teaching you. You are going to be taking over them, and they're going to be moving elsewhere. We all have a timeline. And yes, there are places that do have time and other places that don't. And this is because it was a choice of whoever the programmer is. They've decided by a group collective.
Wow, so you can actually be in the universe where the time runs or no time, or how do you know when the time's up? How do you know when enough is enough?
And can you repeat that in a different form? Because I don't think I understood that.
Well, you know, you go in and you come out of a timeline, don't you? Of a lifetime.
Yeah, but there is no stop. It is the choice is you. What do you want to experience? It never ends. It was like the TV show, The Wild Wild West. Do you remember that?
No.
It was an old TV show. Usually he would take a train or something, and he would go into these different timelines, different places. There was never a stopping. It was like, do you choose to go back there? Okay, let's go back there. Like Back to the Future.
All right, so let's talk about a difficult time problem. Say there was a group of people who wanted to, for instance, change the course of evolution on a planet, that they may arrive at a particular time, but then in that timeline go back in time and embed themselves in the distant past, in order to appear that to the indigenous population that they've always and already been here. Is that at all possible?
Yeah, no, we already took care of that.
Yeah, do you want to tell everybody about that?
I can tell you some things of it. We had to let it happen. To pull the codings, to pull the information, you let it happen. It's okay, whatever disaster happened, whatever they did to us, because we needed to know the coding. We needed to let them abuse us, do whatever they wanted, because we needed to know the time, the codes. Once we got it, there was many of us that got different keys, codes. We put it in the computer. We changed it. We locked it. So anytime, even now to this day, anytime they want to put something out there, you ask permission. We decide whether or not we're going to let you have it, and then we'll change it again.
So, we arrive here at a slightly cleansed timeline. What do your friends upstairs say about CERN? Talking of time.
Sorry, what? I didn't hear that last part.
The CERN particle beam accelerator in Switzerland. The thing that doesn't appear to be working.
Switzerland?
CERN. Have you heard of CERN? C-E-R-N.
No.
No? The Hadron Collider. Large Hadron Collider. Great big machine. 17 miles. 27 miles across or something. No?
No, I don't, but... There's certain, but I do know, what I do know, and I can say, there are certain things that were turned off because it was being used abusively, and there's still certain things that are being negotiated. But I'm not sure of the term, what you're saying. No, I don't.
Okay. Mars retrograde, yeah.
Yeah, because since you got new listeners, when I communicate up there, it's very simple work, so we don't address locations, names. It's just specific. There's certain things, and then they just kind of like direct your conscious to where the location is. You don't even know the name of the city. You just know there's something there. Do something about it. Work it. And everything's done in a conscious holographic technology. Which we all have that.
So that's like a kind of inner version of a three-dimensional holographic display that you can manipulate with your mind and sort of look into things. You know, like you see in the science fiction movies.
Yeah, it's not three-dimensional. There is no dimension in that because it is everything.
Yeah, oh God, sorry. It's hard to describe things in English because it's a three-dimensional language. You know, you can't express, you know. What was I trying to do? Yeah, who was I listening to? Some guy saying that the hologram is a two-dimensional representation of a three-dimensional reality and that the brain is a three-dimensional representation of a fourth-dimensional reality. And that the mind is the fourth dimensional version of the fifth dimensional reality. I think that got it.
Is it something he read about, or does he actually know?
I don't know. I think he probably just said that. Just like,
hey, yeah. If it's something you read about, then don't listen to it. Go into your inner self and ask them to show you, and then you'll find out.
All right. But so. You know, like I was saying, you know, it's very difficult to describe a lot of these things because they can't be described because you can't talk about time unless you're talking about time and, like, how can you talk about time when you're talking about itself and it's, like, all gets very complicated. Different variations, different octaves of time. And like you were saying, you know, that you can be at one time a passenger, another time a driver, another time you can be the doctor, another time you're a patient, in that sort of way. That we experience different parts of it, and that we experience different parts of the great one, because we're all just part of one being. What would you say would be the next kind of... All right, let me see if I can find the word for it. The word I'm coming up with, like a vector of understanding, which is what direction would you say people should be looking in the next few weeks as we go through this, all these different astronomical cycles, astrological cycles, alignments, events, full moons, all this stuff. For me, it feels like we're all being stripped bare. And we're being pulled through a pair of wire cutters. It's like wire strippers that pull the insulation off down to the metal. And I can certainly feel it, and I'm sure you've been feeling this kind of thing. What do you and your friends say?
I felt it, but it's not hurting me or anything. I'm kind of just looking at it as I'm analyzing it. And they're asking me, what does it feel like? What is it? So I have to analyze it, and then I let them know what I'm feeling, how it's feeling, and what I'm seeing, because I look at it through the holograph, and I tell them what I'm seeing, and I don't know how it's supposed to affect me, or should it be affecting me the way I'm feeling? And so they check my pulse and everything, because again, somebody will just show up out of nowhere and just start taking my pulse, and you know, just like going to the ER or something. And they'll say okay, and then all of a sudden it'll just stop. And then I'll ask them, well, what do I do so I don't have to feel so much of this? And I need to know, because in my level, I can ask you guys to help me, and then all of a sudden it'll stop. But I want to know in this body, what can I do to help this body for it can understand and not be affected so much by it? We all have a zodiac sign. And that zodiac, whatever is your crystal, whatever is your flower, or, you know, whatever animal is your totem, have something around you that's that, or just visualize it in your mind. And then whatever is happening out there in space, like the moon, the sun, and the earth, that alignment, I was looking forward to this. It's going to be a beautiful experience, actually. If you look at it as something disastrous, then it's going to be a mechanism that you're triggering within your inner self, and it'll be disastrous. If you look at it beautifully, then you're going to experience something wonderful. So again, it's from the like we said in the beginning, the choice is yours.
And it's all about how you're expressing outward.
Yes.
That reflects back to what you get. You get what you give.
Yes.
As they say. Very interesting. It's always the way of the universe that you get what you give. And you get what you pay for. And those who ask, what is it? I want doesn't get. That's what that is. But anyway. Good, good. We're coming to the end of the show in about 20 minutes, and we'll be followed by Frank Jordan and his insights and meditations, followed by Eva Moore. We're going to be talking about the NDAA with her special guest, which you'll find on Facebook under the Eva Moore group. Anyway, so, yes, it's an interesting time coming up. There's been a lot of stress. Stress as in being stretched, and stress can be good if you're going with it, or if you're allowing it, but difficult if you're pulling against it. What do you think?
Yeah, it's the same. It's a choice. And sometimes for some of us, I know that the choices can be a little hard because of it depends what you're going through. It's a kind of pain. And whatever you feel that is around you that makes you happy, it could be an object, a picture, a music, then let that object help you. Connect with it. You'd be surprised it can talk to you. And don't think you're crazy, because you're not. Because everything has conscious, everything can communicate.
Exactly.
I have pictures and videos of objects that move and talk and transform into a being, because it was asked to come help me. It hurt me. It hurt my call, and it showed up and helped me. So, and I was grateful. So don't think you're crazy. It's okay to ask. And nobody needs to know. It's between you and the object. Because you'd be surprised how much around you is there helping you without you even acknowledging it. And when you do acknowledge them, how much more help you'd be receiving.
Yeah, the things seem to have a lot less problem being happy. than we do.
Yes.
I found that when I've asked Crystal something, they react like they're jumping for joy. You know, they're really, really happy about things. It's like, oh, really? You don't need to react like that. You know,
it's true.
But they do get very excited and very kind of, oh, really look, you know.
Like you're paying attention to me. You know I exist.
Yeah, you can see me.
Yeah. I had one years ago that a sister of mine had, actually, it was many, many years ago, and she actually chiseled it out inside of mine and brought me a piece of crystal stone. And she goes, this is a gift for you because I know you're so much into crystals now. And I said, oh, thank you. And I, when I held it in my hand, I went, this crystal's angry at me. And I said it aloud, which I didn't mean to, but it came out loud, and she already thinks I'm nuts. And she goes, what? Are you talking to me? And I said, no. And she goes, I hope you don't think that rock's talking to you. And I said, no, it's nothing, really. And it felt really negative, the stone. And at first, I was like, oh, my God, I hope it's not from her. But I didn't know. And I put it by the window to catch some sun. It was there for 6 months. And every few days or every now and then when I would walk by it, I can hear it talk to me and say, I'm still pissed. And I would turn around and go, excuse me? I go, is that coming from you? I go, because it finally started talking to me one day. And I go, I'm really, really pissed. And I said, is there anything I can do to help you? And they go, just don't talk to me. And I went, oh, okay. So I left it go. And then almost when 6 months came around, all I heard was, I'm ready to talk. And I turned around and I went, what? I'm ready to talk. I need to let it go. And I went, okay. So I got the rock and I go, I'm going to put you underwater. I'm going to clean you and stuff. Do whatever you have to do. Just, I want to get it over with. So I kind of did it, washed it. And I kind of like with my hands, I kind of like gave it love and stuff. And I can hear the rock was crying. Instead of the rock healing me, I was healing the rock. And I said, what happened? And it, instead of telling me, it showed me visuals. That rock has been down in some caves for so long, and it experienced and saw things it didn't like, which I'm not going to share because it wasn't pleasing what I saw. And I said, are you okay? Can you release it? And the rock said, can you help me release it? Can you help me tell them that I love them? And I said, okay, I'll do that. And we did it together. And after that, after 1 week that passed, the rock said, you can start using me now. I'll help you. And that was like 6.5-7 months after from the day that I received the stone.
So your sister actually kind of hammered it off the wall, but in the caves where she was, there were things that had happened, yeah?
Yes.
I see. And he, being a crystal, like us, being a healer, also takes impressions of people's expression. And was impressed by the energy. No, I'm not saying impressed in a good way, but was impressed, as in taking an impression of the energy that was going on in that place. And it was obviously very difficult. And presumably, all the rest of the crystals experienced that. His collective.
Yeah. The other part of him that wasn't chiseled off. I can imagine. Haven't met them. Well, can't cross any of them.
But I imagine that your cleansing would have also sort of entangled back to them.
Yeah. At the time, I think we were both healing, because that's why when she gave me that and I was starting to get into crystals was because I was healing from my own wounds at that time, and that rock didn't want to help me. It was going through some stuff too, so we kind of healed each other. We helped each other.
I'm dealing with separation anxiety. Somebody hammered me off a wall.
I know it sounds funny, but it happened.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've been always saying in my show, you know, we live in a hylozoistic universe, which is everything is alive. Hilo means everywhere. Zo is the root of zoo, which means to live, be alive, thing, living things. So hylozoistic means it's a universe of living things. Remember where you heard it first. Actually, I got that from an old esoteric book. from Dwal Kool's material. Anyway, meanwhile, Dwal Kool, Maitreya, in that thing. So we, where are we? Well, 15 minutes away. Are there any other unsent, do you have unsent messages in your inbox from your peeps?
Unsent?
As in undelivered messages from your guys?
No, I don't. They pretty much keep me up to date, and certain things that, because I don't listen all the time, because dealing with different realities, when certain things just trigger in, and then I find out, because in human form that's out in the news or something, then I'll say, like, what the hell? And then they'll tell me, remember, you weren't listening again? And, yeah, okay. I wasn't. But can you be more specific? Sorry, I just brabbled on.
Yeah, sorry. No, I was just because you said that, they had some messages for me. And I was just referring to this, when you came on before, you said they had some things to say. I was just wondering if you said all the things they wanted you to say.
Okay, I think one of them I think I typed it in there before I wouldn't forget. Oh, the black holes, white holes that were created a few years ago.
Oh yes, yes. The black holes.
Now you remember?
Now go back and make it really easy for our listeners, because it's quite a complex thing.
Okay. There was a black hole that we had opened, and all consciousness that exists on this universe actually helped out. Right when hit a certain time, we hit a code, created a big giant hole in space, and that hole we brought in planets, as the past few years that you kept hearing, planets and stars coming through our universe. That was coming through and going into that hole because they were creating another universe. That's what we do.
So it's a sort of transit point, like a loading bay where you unload one universe into another.
No, it's just creating another one, because that was going to be somebody else's collective to take over that, as we were talking. In time, as you progress and you grow in your evolution of knowledge, you will have the ability and the capability of owning a universe. Well, this collector was, I was working with that group, and we created another universe into the black hole. Now that black hole is not as close as it used to be, because being that the frequency has changed here, and certain areas has grown smaller, and certain planets have come closer, other locations, the frequency has gotten lower, so then everything is pulled away, so the black hole has now is further and further away. I would say it's about maybe 200 billion light years away, pretty close to that. So it used to be really close to us. Now it's over 2 billion.
So that's moved away because of the expansion of the universe. Things are expanding in odd directions, aren't they?
Well, when we first put that here, was a backup in case this reality, we weren't able to bring it back when it exploded. This universe, when it exploded a couple of years ago, when we changed the time and we brought everything back, if we were not able to do that, we had a replica of everything, all consciousnesses, our bodies, our DNA is over there as well.
Right, hang on a second.
It would have continued on.
Right, hang on a second.
Okay.
We destroyed the universe, and then it was all kind of recreated instantly, and nobody noticed. That's the thing that they say. That's the thing that they say happened with CERN, is that they actually switched it on. It destroyed the universe. And that we were all switched onto a different timeline. So you tell me about what your guys have said to you and what you saw. Let's see if that matches.
It's not that what they told me. I saw. I was there. I was pulled out of this reality. I think I mentioned it to you when it happened. I was actually in bed, and when the time hit, the timeline, I heard the giant, I'm going to call it the mothership, that big old huge thing come in and was making that big sound, and I was told, get ready, and I went, get ready for what? And then all of a sudden, this really hard, this massive frequency just pulled everything out off the earth and just started pulling it, and I held on to my bed, the mattress, like that's going to help, and
you got to do something, didn't you?
Huh? Yeah, it did something. Like my legs started like to get like electricity, and then it went to my hands, and it went to my head, and then it all like joined into my heart, and then I shot out in space. And when that, and I saw myself coming through the roof, and I saw trees, I saw vehicles, other people, animals, everything you can think of, go up in space, and we were spiraling. Spiraling, but when we were spiraling, you can hear it, and it sounded like when you get like something like this. This is what it sounded like, exactly like that. They're really loud, and as we were up there, I was just like looking down, and my body was no body. It was just a piece of crystal, just a little shiny little crystal, and I'm looking, and I'm inside like a bubble. And then we're just spiraling, and I see other things, but we're all in our own spiral bubble. Nobody's inside with you. You're in your own little spiral. And I look at the earth, and it exploded. It was just smoke. Everything was gone. And other planets around was also gone. And I looked out at the sun, and I'm going, it's coming from you. Why didn't you tell me, you guys, that you're inside the sun? And they go, Olivia, you knew. And then I said, well, okay, fine. I couldn't remember. I was down there the whole time. And they just said, just enjoy the view. What does it look like? I go, it's amazing. It's really amazing. I'm just sitting in there going, it's so amazing. Like, it could have been a long time this was happening. But then all of a sudden, 15 seconds later, I'm back on my bed, grabbing onto the mattress, catching my breath, and I hear the ship just going through. And it's leaving, and it's going to the next location, almost like a vacuum. That's what it was like—a big giant vacuum. But it was like it was electrical frequency instead of air sucking in. It was just electrical frequency pulling you in, because we were all energy. Everything was energy going up there and just spiraling.
So essentially, like a huge amazing. Dyson, like
yeah,
great big Dyson.
Yeah, and I'm glad I'm able to describe it now, because before I was having a hard time. I think I was still stuttering, because when you go into one reality to another, the frequency is so different than when you come back to your reality. It takes time for you to start talking normal again, and you're stuttering a lot. And it took me quite a few years to go back to normal. And I even was... with amnesia years back when I was taken to another planet because of a battle that happened over here when everything broke loose. And I was gone for 6 months. Then when I was brought back, I didn't even know who I was. So I was just in bed. It took me 2 weeks to know the people that I was living with, their names, who they were. They were telling me who they were and stuff, and just like, you know, just smile and acknowledge like you know them, even though you don't remember. And I'm like, okay. And then I had gone to a Christmas party from my previous job, and I started crying because I couldn't remember anybody. I didn't know who anybody was, only just like three people, and everybody else, I had no clue. And they were like, are you serious? We worked side to side just a few months ago. And I'm going, I'm sorry, I don't remember you.
Because the amount of experience you'd had in the meantime, like going through a war situation, wasn't it? It was a really traumatic time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just like you went away and then you came back and you forgot everybody. You went away to such an experience that was so completely different that when, I mean, this is what people call shell shock or PTSD. your friends upstairs don't seem to care too much about the old PTSD thing, do they?
Yeah, actually, they do care for that. I'm going to say they're very supportive with that. Even when I started remembering, my body was still in shock and I was still stuttering and I couldn't think straight. And I asked for help, and they said, what's wrong with you? And I said, are you serious? I'm falling apart. I don't know who the hell I am down here. Excuse me, my language. And they said, oh, okay. So then they stopped the reality right there, and I was taken to a healing clinic, which that's where they take many people after they pass away. If they die traumatically, they do not want anybody to come back to this planet, to this reality, traumatized. You will be healed going forward because you don't need to experience the karma from your ancestors no more. Those have been eliminated. That is not acceptable. That should never happen. It's cleaned out. And so going forward, when you leave here, you'll be going to this clinic, those that get traumatized. And what they do is, it's the same thing. It's, they get the crystals out of your box. Everybody has their own box. They have a bunch of crystals in there, and they do it where they put it against your forehead, and they're collecting all the data you experience, and they put it back into the box. So every now and then you can go put it into this machine. Well, it's, and it brings up a screen. Again, it's the holograph of the Akashics, and you can look back on your memories, what you experience, and you get to pick what part you want to take with you on your next life.
Wow, there's a few parties that I'd like to go back to. Anyway, we're all out of time, Olivia. It's been a delight once again to have you on the show. Everybody's enjoyed your presence. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We have been ever beyond. This was Olivia Valencia. Mystery. We don't know when you'll be back. You'll be back, but we don't know when. Good night, everybody. This has been Ever Beyond.